Anyway, before we get started, I love that we've already shared some testimony, but I have a really, really good friend in the house. His name is Gary Bone. Gary, if you want to go ahead and come up here. Gary, thank you. Honor, honor. Gary, what do I say about Gary Bone? He's a rock star. Gary and I know each other from Abilene, and he is now the director of the Transformation School of Supernatural Ministry, where I used to lead and teach and whatever. And he is I don't know your official title, but he's like the head detective of the Criminal Investigation Division. Is that right? Did I say that right?
Lieutenant.
Something. He's lieutenant and bomb squad, and he's the man. So he was in a training in San Antonio and decided to stop by because I hadn't seen him in a while. And so I just am going to give him an opportunity to share anything that the Lord's got on his heart, or give a testimony or something, because I can't not if he's here, right? So anyway, this is Gary.
Awesome. Thank you. Do y'all know what a jewel you have in Cindy?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Anyways, she is much more important and valuable than you guys even know, I promise you. So there's been like 10 billion things going through my mind back there, sitting here. This is, the Lord's thick in here. So I think just in what Pastor Jay was talking about, and so I've been on the police department there in Abilene for 18 and a half years. And the first year that I started TSSM is when I had an opportunity to apply for the Criminal Investigations Division, having spent all of my career, the first 15 years, on patrol. And it was a time of really trusting in the Lord and just going wherever he wanted me to go. And crazy enough, he gave me the position against the chief's. It wasn't his plan even, and that was the first time really seeing the Lord, just knowing that he'll move the mountains, you know what I mean? And it's been an awesome thing. Well, so there's a group of us here in San Antonio for a homicide investigators conference. So I'm in a room with 150 guys that are all doing homicide investigations all the time, and we're learning a lot, and it's really fun, and it's a shame that we have to do it, but I think what the Lord is putting in my heart, something I want to talk to y'all about. This here, I wanted to show you. I just got this from a friend. He's on the bomb squad with me. He's on our SWAT team, and he's a special forces in the Army as well, and he just got back from a one-year tour in Afghanistan, and he told me a few stories, and they're really crazy, but this is a... he doesn't realize what he gave me. This is a real special forces Bible. And so something the Lord was putting on me up there was just that, so far as police work, we pretty much categorize people as sheeps, wolves, or sheepdogs. And we are the sheepdogs. We protect the sheep from the wolves, right? Well, everybody in this room is a sheepdog in the spirit, without a doubt. So I just found it, I was just sitting back there not even really thinking, all of a sudden it hit me that I've got a Special Forces Bible up here, and we're talking about terror, and that the Lord is so much stronger and bigger. And I just want to speak that over you guys. Actually, I'd like to lay hands on everybody at some point. I just feel like... she was praying for the dead, and which somehow got me on praying for us to be doing it there. Like, when I go to sleep tonight, Lord, take me there and let me lay my hands on some people, you know. And that's something else I want to impart to y'all, too. Because I'm in charge of the Criminal Investigations Division, I get... It's really what God has done is just given me access. You know what I mean? I have a lot of access that most people don't have. So one of the things that he's really, I've really been on is deaths of infants and children and, people in general, because we go to all of the homicide scenes, and any death of a child our people go to. So my guys know when we go that I'm going, but I'm not there to look over their shoulders. I'm going to lay hands on babies, right? So that's a test. That's a testimony I'm going to give you real quick. I've not yet raised a baby from the dead, but I've stirred a lot in the hearts of my people that I work with, first of all. But we had some really bad things happen a couple months ago, and I was in a position of really frustration, you know, seeing what is happening to families and kids and suicides and deaths. And so I was at home, and so I was on a spot at home just crying out to the Lord and, like real frustration, you know, like when it talks about crying out, that's what I was doing. If I'm honest, I was really ticked off, you know. I'm like, and what it was an 11-year-old that had committed suicide. And I went up there and I put my hands on this kid and prayed and didn't see the results I was expecting. But I was just telling him, I said, Lord, I know what your word says and I know it's true. And I'm just telling you my frustration because I'm refusing to let my experience dictate what is my truth, you know, and in any realm outside of these doors is what most people do, right? So we got to see it to believe it rather than to believe it to see it. So the world. So anyways, there's one person I work with that is not completely weirded out by all this stuff. And so I called him and then I just vented to him for a minute, basically what I just told to you guys. So I hung up. I was like, you know what? I got this book here that I just bought. I tried to read it a minute, and I was frustrated, you know. I don't know if I even got a page in, but I didn't read any of it. You know what I mean? You ever done that and have to go back? So I set it down. Well, I picked my book back up, and do y'all know who Sean Boltz is? Okay, so it's one of his Keys to Kingdom Economy. I ordered it. So I picked it up, and the heading on the page I was at said, a resurrection anointing. So, and I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, that's about the clearest answer I've ever gotten, the quickest time. You know what I mean? So cry out. There you go, cry out. And what it said at the bottom of that page was, God is bringing a resurrection anointing first to dreams that have died and then a true resurrection. So if that's a word for you, grab a hold of it. So anyways, it encouraged me greatly. And then a couple weeks ago, we had a young child die, and I got a lot of time in there by myself, which was awesome. And I was fully expectant. It hasn't happened yet. It's coming, and you guys will hear about it, I promise. I may come back just to tell you and make sure you spread the word. But anyways, so far as warfare, kingdom warfare, we've got terrorists trying to scare us, and we're all sheepdogs. I just want to speak to you for a split second too about what, I don't know if you guys, if you're all from here or where you come from, but the positioning of God that I'm able to witness from Abilene, Texas, just to see what's going on. That the only reason that Cindy's not the director of TSSM is because she's been sent here. You know what I mean? And so I just look at it. So in Abilene, my wife and I, we're at the big church, Beltway. It's an awesome church. We love it. And the Lord sends us over to the poor and homeless church in the middle of town, which I've got a heart for that, but it is not, you don't walk in there and just get the happy feely, you know, spirit knock you on your face in there. You've got homeless people that stink, and it's just a whole other world of ministry, but the Lord has just shown me his face in that so many times. So I see where we've come, and there's been some people from our school come there, and I see what the Lord's doing, because that's where revival's coming out of in Abilene. I know it. I see Cindy here. Our other friend Naomi's moved to Austin, and I just see them strategically. It's like just almost like, you know, when you watch those war movies and they're shooting nuclear things on a computer and you just see the streamers going here and here and here, that's what he's doing. And I don't know how many people go to church here, but this is a powerful place. Like, there's something big here. And And is New Braunfels pretty old, I'm assuming? Yeah. So something I felt like the Lord was showing me back there is what he's done in Abilene with Camp Barkley. Have you told them about Camp Barkley at all? Anyways, we've got Camp Barkley in Abilene, Texas. It was a World War II training grounds for soldiers, thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers. Well, some people we know have acquired that land and started at Iris Ministries out there, all kinds of ministries. Well, anyways, the picture of it is just redigging wells. You know what I'm saying? And I get a distinct feeling that that's what's going on right here is there's wells here in this place, the history of here, and I don't know what they are. That's for y'all to find out, but God has got you guys stepping into that, whatever was laid before. And it's pretty amazing stuff. And I've got about 10 million things I could talk about. But I did get a little picture for Pastor Jay earlier while I was worshiping, and I saw basically a disc, like a disc golf disc, just floating through the air. And, you know, my conversation with the Lord was something like, hey, that's like a disc golf disc. You know, are you even a disc golfer by any chance? Yeah, me neither. That would be such a frustrating game for me. But anyways, the whole word there was when you play disc golf, you got to have the right disc for the right throw for the air to take it where it's going to take it. And I just feel like you're a guy that you're whatever disc the Lord needs you to be at the time. You know what I mean? Like a discernment gift that really picks up on which way the wind is blowing at the time. And so you're not overshooting it and you're not undershooting it. You know what I mean? And so I just wanted to give you that. I felt like it was a good word. So
amen.
Anyhow, do you have some stuff you're going to do?
Well, I'm going to share a little bit, I guess, because the Lord's been stirring up some stuff in me. And, you know, when Jay says that the Holy Spirit hijacked the meeting, I'm like, it's his meeting.
Yeah.
And whatever he put on my heart better be from him too, right? Like, same Holy Spirit. So anyway, first I want to pray for Gary. And I just want us to just corporately, if you just reach out your hand and at the end, we'll do a time of prayer with each other and some ministry time, and I'm going to let him lay hands, and we'll do whatever. We'll do some fun stuff at the end, but time of impartation. But I just want to pray over Gary, and Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for my brother and my friend Gary. Lord, he is such a noble subject of you, King Jesus, and I thank you just for the position that you've given him and for the keys that you've given him over the years and all those access points, Father, and just for that bold faith. And Lord, I just ask that you would just pour out an increased measure right now for him. Lord, he came and he gave, and Lord, I ask that you multiply it back to him now to take it back, not only to Abilene, but Lord, to these guys on the police force, that everywhere he comes in contact with, Lord, and his leadership, not only in the force in Abilene, but even here in this training, Lord, and I ask just an increased measure and a blessing over breaking over trauma, breaking over that resurrection power that not only speaks life to death, but that also releases, Lord, just an increased measure of a turnaround of trauma, Lord, just this, an air of protection, Father, not only around Gary and around these guys, just for the safety for our officers, Lord, but the emotional impact of all the stuff that they deal with as well, God, but that you give them discerning eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, like the owl. You know, I remember, I don't remember who it was, but it was talking about the owl and how the owl is able to see in the dark, you know, and they're able to see things that no one else can see, Lord. And so I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, just for releasing a greater impartation and a measure of gifts of discernment, of protection, of wisdom, Lord, of boldness that pours out of his mouth as he prays and imparts. And Lord, that there will be a hunger that stirs up, not only a greater hunger in him, but those that are around him, Father. And so I just thank you. I release even a gift of impartation. Whoa. I release the gift of impartation, Lord, to him. A greater measure of that he stirs up what he sees. So I thank you for that, Lord. And
Gary, what I saw is tectonic plates shifting, but it was done in the spirit realm. And so the anointing that he's given you to walk into those places, that it shifts the tectonic plates of a region. in an area of a crime scene, whatever's been done there, you shift it for the kingdom in a way that is not just strategic, but it releases grace. So, Father, I just release over Gary, Lord, too, that same, we just receive him, Lord God, as the mighty man of God, the mighty warrior of God that you've designed him to be. And we say more, Lord, that you would invade his dreams, Lord. You've heard the cry of his heart, Lord God, that impartation of for resurrection wasn't just words on a page, but, Lord, there's been a real release, Lord, of your resurrection power. And so, Lord, we say more. And that it wouldn't be just one, but, Lord God, there would just be multiple. That every place that he walks into, Lord God, that you would shift. Shift it.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thanks, Gary. I've been thinking about Wednesday nights and what the Lord wants to do just in general about this ministry. And I'm a planner, but I'm also a winger. Like, I'm spontaneous and like to wing stuff too. And so he's taken me through lots of journaling and scribbling of all kinds of thoughts and ideas and stuff that's been on his heart. And I never want to give a teaching or share anything that that's my agenda, right? And so, and just because of who I am and how I'm wired, I really want to know, like, okay, God, here's my notes, but what are you saying? Like, is this, like, timing is everything, right? Like, I to be a son of Issachar, you know, to know the times and the seasons and to discern those things. And so although there's a lot of things that I thought I was going to say tonight, I'm going to set them aside and we'll talk about them another time. But what I really feel like what he's saying tonight is it's a commissioning day. And there's this huge invitation and an awakening that he's stirring up. And, you know, we're hearing it from so many different prophetic voices in the air, and it's been coming, right? Like, it's been coming. Like, I feel like it's been like 10-year wave here going, come on, let's, you know. But it's like, no, it's time. And I just want to share with you, 3 years ago, each September, I'll back up, each September at Yom Kippur, I spend a designated time, intentional time with the Lord. He gave me September because it's the month of my birth. And way back when, on Valentine's Day of 09, he just gave me some downloads about some things. And the way he talks to me is just weird. I'm just weird. So, you know, this will give you an insight into how my brain works and with numbers and how I hear God. But I'm sitting there listening to a guy that came in, a guest speaker, and he was sharing about 999 and the prophetic, you know, number and the season that it was in. And this was, you know, a couple years after the cult first started doing, you know, 777 in Nashville and 888. And I'm like, well, it's 999. So there's something really good going to happen at 999 because 9's my number. 9 was my favorite lucky number in sports whenever I played when I was younger. You know, and the team coach would ask, you know, well, what number, what's your favorite number? I didn't have a favorite number, you know, and so I thought, and I was like, I was 9 years old, and I was like, well, how about, you know, 9, and I had accepted Christ at 9, so that's how I remember it, though, too, right? So I was like, 9, that's good, that's a good one, and then to know there's 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit, and there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and 9 represents, you know, revival and newness, and so 9's my number. So anyway, in February, in Valentine's Day, no less, he said, something's coming, and I'm going to ask, and he called me to a fast. I'll just tell you the story. He called me to a fast, and I'm like, really? I don't like fasting. I didn't at the time, especially. I've tried it a few times. I'm not very good at it, but I knew that it wasn't me initiating a fast, it was God initiating it, so it was a whole other thing, right? And it was something you can't just shake, and I'm an obedient girl, so I was gonna follow. So anyway, went through that, had no idea what I was praying for, but he gave me the numbers 999 to 92709, because 927 is my birthday, 27th. You can mark that in your calendar. But so I'm counting the days, and I'm like, well, that's not quite 21, because I heard him say Daniel fast, which I had never done before that year. And I'm like, that's going to be really hard, Jesus, but okay, because it's you. But that's more than 21 days. I mean, I was counting it out, and I was like, I was trying to figure out, is that 21 days? I was trying to figure it out. And then he stretched it, because then he showed me the Hebrew calendar of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and all those. And so anyway, it's basically the month of September now. And so I didn't know what I was praying for. And then it was that November that I kind of got blasted at a school of healing with Global Awakening, Randy Clark and Bill and all them, and Will Hart was sharing about Thailand, and it's kind of a long story. I'm not going to tell it to you all tonight, but anyway, he sent me off to my first mission trip, and the rest is history. I'm ruined for life, for revival and for the miraculous and for heaven. You know, tired of hearing the stories, wanted to see it in action, and had seen little bits in here and there and been reading about it and going after it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, read Randy Clark's book, There Is More. There's always more in God. And anyway, so that began a commissioning for me, specifically, personally, about the month of September. And so then I had heard about the Shepherd's Rod that Bob Jones and Bobby Connor would do each year around that time, particularly Yom Kippur. They set aside time with the Lord, and he gives them downloads, their prophets, and he gives them downloads and for the year, what's coming in the year, what's the Lord saying, you know, for the body. And so I thought, well, every September, I'm just going to ask you for a word. Like, I'm thinking a literal word. Like, you know, like, so he'd give me one word. Every now and then, he'd give me, you know, a particular word. And it fit a lot of the stuff that was going on, at least at the time in my life in the church. And so it was my intercessor commissioning, is what I'm going to call that, okay? So didn't really see myself as an intercessor as much before then, but I knew that something shifted and changed. And so, fast forward, 3 years ago, I'm asking the Lord for my word for the year, and he doesn't give me one word. He gives me a phrase, a sentence, a command, get your house in order. And I knew in my spirit it meant on every level. And so, we've known for a long time that we would be leaving at some point, we'd be moving out of Abilene, we just didn't know when or where. God just had told us in various different ways, and practically through my husband's work stuff and just words and prophetic words and things like that. We just knew. We just didn't know when. It was just weird. My husband's from, born, raised, lived in Abilene his whole life. He didn't really care to leave. I loved it. I didn't care to leave, you know. But we just knew. And so when he said that, I was like, thank you, Jesus, for giving me time to prepare. That he's so sweet, you know, that he gave me that word. And so I'm like, okay, I know. I'm a visionary, so I can easily start a lot of stuff and not finish them. Have lots of great ideas, but don't always accomplish all of them, you know. And so, you know, he's taught me. I've had to learn discipline quite a bit, administrative discipline, over the years. And so I knew what he was talking about on every level. And there are multiple things in the area of, you know, family life stuff, relationships and work, my business stuff. You know, I still needed to develop a website at the time, and just real practical kinds of things that was always kind of on the to-do list but never got done, right? Boxes in the garage that needed to be dealt with or whatever, just all this stuff. But it was this, I was like, that's my word for the year? And he was kind of like, aren't you going to need it? And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, oh. So anyway, I told my husband. So we started thinking about, you know, there's projects around the house we kind of need to do. We still didn't know, had no, nothing saying we were leaving yet. But we're like, well, yeah, we really need to do this, do that. So anyway, we made some progress. And then the next year, I'm asking the Lord for a word for the year. And he says the same thing. I was like, Lord, that was last year's word. He said, are you done? I said, no. And so he said, get your house in order. And then he gave me a dream. And I've only shared this dream, I think, with a few people or a few times. But he gave me a dream where I'm in my house, the house in Abilene, and I'm in my bedroom. And where the master bedroom is, I could look down the doorway, and I could see into where the living room was, and this would be the front door on this side here. So if anyone came through the front door, I'd be able to see them come into the living room through my bedroom door. That's kind of how the hallway was situated. And my daughter's bedroom was over here, around the corner, but then here's my closet. And in the dream, I'm getting changed. I'm getting dressed, and I was just about to put on my jeans. I had one leg in and was putting in the other one, and someone rings the doorbell. And then I see my daughter, or at least the back of her head, go toward the door, and I'm like, don't open the door. Hold on a second. She opens up the door, so I'm like going, oh, no, I see somebody come in, and so I quickly jump into my closet, right, and I'm trying to put on my jeans really quick. I trip, and I fall, and I didn't close the closet door, but the door was closed at one point, and the door opens, and, you know, I told you I'd gone on the trip with Global Awakening, and so Tom Jones, who's such a father, he's so amazing, but he's at the door, and he says, well, Cindy, aren't you ready? And I was like, okay. And then I get this glimpse of Randy's in my living room with a bunch of workers that they brought in, and they were pulling out blueprints, and they were drawing things, and Randy was like, okay, so we're going to push this wall out here, and we're going to put the steps up this way, and so we're going to do a double story thing, and we're going to add an extra bathroom, and so he was extending the house, and I woke up. And I'm like, that was weird. And I was like, what are you saying, Lord? So I love dream interpretation, and so I'm asking, and long story short, Cindy, you're not ready yet, and I'm here. And we're doing this now. I'm building it. It's going higher. It's going bigger. And it's huge. And you aren't ready. Aren't you ready yet? And it was so gentle, you know. But still, it was like, it's time. So then that was a phrase that clicked. It's time. So that became kind of a secondary kind of word for that year. And then it was all those things that, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you look at the clock, I don't know if the Lord talks to you weirdly like this, but, you know, I'd first heard it, I think, from somebody like Patricia King or somebody had said something about 11:11 when I was nursing my son, and I'd get 11:11 all the time, or 2:22 or 3:33, you know, and all those. And so, you know, I thought, well, I'll go look at Scripture, because when she had said that, she talked about Deuteronomy 11:11, which is a real personal word for me now. Every time I see 11:11, he reminds me of that word, and it's, you know, the land that you will enter is the land of hills and valleys that drinks from the rains of heaven. Well, he gave me those numbers again right before we moved here. I'm like, this is where we're going. Okay, that's 11:11. That was in 08 that he first gave me that. But so then I kept getting 444s, and, you know, and that talks about, you know, and, well, anyway, I won't go into all this. So third year, toward the end of that year, we started knowing things were stirring where we were going to have to start moving and stuff. And so then that third year came, and he didn't say anything. And this was just this last September. We had moved here, actually. And so I was like, well, we're here, God, so isn't there another word for while we're here? We got here literally on Rosh Hashanah. He would not let us come any earlier than that. We had all kinds of crazy stuff with selling of our other house and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, God's timing's perfect, but I'm not liking it. I'd really like to get my kids in before school starts, all that practical stuff, right? Yeah. No, thanks. It's okay. No, he landed us here literally on September 24th, which was Rosh Hashanah, and I said, your calendar, Jesus. So that's when he came, and so I said, well, is there a word for this, you know, year? And he didn't say anything. And so I asked him, and I said, so does that mean it's still get your house in order? And he said, well, you just got here, and now you have a new house, and you got to kind of get it in order. So he's so kind, right? He's so kind. So he did that, and it's been an interesting year. And what I hear him saying right now is it's time, and it's time for the body to get the house in order. It's time to get the church house in order. It's time to get his body in order. And unity is really important to the Lord, but unity is not enough. It's got to be intimacy. We have to actually like each other. We are family. And we've got to get to the place where our hearts are whole enough individually. If we're not wholehearted, then we can't minister his heart to anybody. We're not representing him very well either. But he's asking for, okay, well, who's ready? Who's prepared themselves, you know? And so it's like the 10 virgins who prepared their oil for the bridegroom, right? Like, if your oil's not ready to go when the bridegroom shows up, you're not ready, you know? And so he's calling, it's an invitation that he's calling, asking and saying, are you ready? You know, and it goes hand in hand with a lot of what Pastor Jay's been preaching lately, of just prepare the way of the Lord. And all the stuff with Azusa Now and everything, it's just, there's a time and a season, you know, like we're all individually in a different journey, you know, right, in our walk with the Lord, and it's good, okay? We're not supposed to all necessarily be on the same page, okay? I'm just telling you that right now. So stop comparing. There's no competition in the kingdom. We're all in, and you're not going to miss out on anything. You're right where you're supposed to be in whatever process that you are in. When he wants to catch you up to wherever you're supposed to be, he'll do it in a moment, okay? We're the ones who have the list that say, well, we got to do this first, and then we got to do that, and there's like a list, kind of an order, you know, and you got to kind of earn this. It's like prerequisites that you got to take before you can take the, you know, main program class or whatever it is. Like, that's not how the kingdom works. He kind of says, come as you are, I'll use you anyway, right? If he can use a donkey, he can use me, right? So it's an invitation, though, to the body to say, are you ready? Because I'm here and I'm coming, right? And so he's doing a new thing. So when we talk about revival and praying about revival, and I mean, it's been prayed for since Jesus was walking, you know, since he left, you know, and Peter and Paul are like, okay, it's time. Jesus is coming back any minute now. They were thinking that then, too, right? But that's not the point. The Lord wants his family. He wants his kids to act like it. He wants his kids to get along. He wants his family to be family. And he wants us to start displaying the kingdom. And he's tired of waiting for us to getting our stuff together. He's going to use us regardless. Okay? There's no B team in the kingdom. You're the A team. That's it. That's all he's got. There's no backups. And there's no bench warmers. So you're only going to be able to run the race as long as you've prepared for, okay? That doesn't mean, you know, you are going to necessarily, you know, win first place, second place, third place, or whatever. But I think we are supposed to be the pace setters in the kingdom, okay? For the world, you know? But everyone's at their own pace. So again, no comparing or competing. Ask the Lord where you are in your relationship with him. Ask him about the condition of your spirit right now. Ask about where you've been, where you are today, and where you're headed. Dig out your words. If you don't have any, stick around tonight, you'll get some. Bring out your words. If you've never written out your words, I tell people all the time. In fact, I had this beautiful pen sent to me by a friend just this last week that it said, I should have brought it. It said, write that down on it, because I've said it so many times. When God gives you stuff, you write it down. If it's a dream, you write it down. If it's a word, you write it down. If it's an idea, you write it down and revisit it later, because a rhema word of God can be breathed upon and used again over and over again, just like his logo scripture word, okay? So he, ask him about where you are in your relationship with him. And again, we're all on a journey, okay? Whether you are, you know, I used to use this analogy, and I'm just going to use it. So you can be an acquaintance of Jesus. You can kind of know about him from a distance, you know. You can be friends. You can be best friends. You can be like a brother if you're a guy, you know. I like to think of him as my boyfriend sometimes. He's my Prince Charming. He's my bridegroom God. You know, I used to always joke and say, you know, I'm not sure how men do this, but, you know, we're the bride of Christ, right? I mean, I know I'm a son of God and they're the bride too, but I was telling Jay this. I was like, I'm not really sure how to describe it for men as much. I guess, you know, I mean, we've got the Father, right? Everybody knows how to, you know, have a picture of the relationship with the Father, but with the Holy Spirit, it's a little different, and Jesus, we'll talk about that some. But with Jesus, it's like, I'm being a little distracted, sorry. You can be best friends, you can be boyfriend, girlfriend, okay? That's for the girls anyway. You can be betrothed. You can say yes, you know, when someone proposes and still be in that engagement period. You can be newly married, on your honeymoon. You can be a couple years in. You can be 5 years in. You can be 10 years in. And I hope that, you know, in marriage, in real life marriage, it's up and down and rocky. And guess what? In your walk with the Lord, sometimes it can be that way too, right? But you're not going to ever really have a healthy relationship in a marriage if you don't stay in tune emotionally, have communication, have a solid friendship with one another. It's rocky, but when you do life together like you're supposed to do life together, then you're in it together, right? So the desire, the goal, you know, of a healthy, happy marriage is that you're on the same road, going the same direction, hopefully holding hands, right? Like having that connection. But there are often times where people are a little bit more like business partners or roommates. It happens, okay? But I don't want that relationship with Jesus, though. I want to be that old couple that's just cute and smiling at each other and, you know, kissing on the cheek and sitting in their little rocking chair and grandkids around their feet, you know. I can dream, right? I'm a dreamer. But when I think about my walk with the Lord, that's what I used to do this, actually, I still do sometimes, but I was thinking of, where am I with you today, Lord? You know, we've been walking with each other since I was 9 years old. It's a long time. But I don't want to get too comfortable. I don't want to get lazy. My husband and I need date nights. Guess what? Jesus and I need date nights. You know, we do. And to the level and a degree that you open up your heart and you keep talking, have communication, you share intimacy. Intimacy is into me, you're able to see, right? You know, I kind of think it's not fair. I'm like, you know, poor Chris, because Jesus is my bridegroom husband, you know. Like, it's kind of not fair for the guy, right? I mean, but he said to love him first, and then everything else falls into place. And the more I engage with Jesus, and the more I become one with him, the more I look like him, act like him, speak like him, talk like him, think like him, then the more I can release that into my marriage and into my kids and into the people around me. And there's an invitation into a greater intimacy with the Lord. And so ask him, Lord, where am I in my walk with you? Am I comfortable? Have we had a date night in a while? Or for the guys, poker night or whatever it is y'all do, I don't know. You know, go throw the baseball outside, you know. Yeah, go fishing with Jesus. That's a good one. You know. He's calling us into a deeper place of intimacy, and we'll unpack that in the next week or two about some of that, but the invitation is there for you to examine yourself. And listen, it's his kindness that brings us to repentance. And repentance doesn't mean, you know, brokenness and being stepped on, and you know, what it means is I'm turning and going the other way. I'm repenting, is returning to penthouse level thinking. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in the throne room with him. I'm not really here, you know, kind of paradigm, in that place of intimacy with him. And sometimes circumstances and the world and the practical stuff, our heart gets divided, you know, with things. And we can have other lovers, you know, as scripture talks about. But when we have singleness of mind, singleness of vision, to really pursue his heart and to let him in to every part of our heart. Do you know that your heart gets divided? You know, David talked about, you know, in Psalm 1, he talked about, I meditate on your law day and night that I might not sin against you. You know, well, that's good. But then if you keep reading the Psalms, he goes through these emotional roller coasters up and down, and he speaks to his soul, oh, my soul, why are you so downcast within me? You know. And events to the Lord, Jesus was quoting David when he was on the cross, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, there's all these emotions in that. And if David, the man after God's own heart, can cry out in all of those emotions, I think we're supposed to also. I think God's a very emotional God. Scripture says his middle name is Jealous. He's a jealous God. Not of us, but for us. He's fiercely in love with you. With one glance of your eye, his heart is ravished. Song of Solomon. You know, he can't stand to not be around us, so he's with us all the time, whether we know it or not. So there's an invitation to a greater place of intimacy with him. So ask him, God, where am I in my walk with you, in my relationship with you? And listen, I'm not talking about there's a good enough, right? Okay, there's no destination where we've arrived. We are always growing. We are always on a journey. We always have to be teachable. If you think you know it all already, you're in trouble, because you are always, there's so much more. There's so much more. There's always more. Always. We need to always be learning, always being teachable, always being humble enough to let him show us something new and different. I want to be able to learn from everybody I come in contact with, whether they're older, whether they're younger. There's something they can give me, you know. I think I shared a testimony about this last year or whatever, about being ministered to by a developmentally disabled person, and I'd never been whacked so hard in all my life. I mean, the Spirit came upon me so heavily, I've never experienced anything like it since, you know. And and he didn't say anything out loud. He just laid his hand on me. While his friend next to him said, yeah, that's it, that's it. And I said, I receive God. And what he carried was more than any of the other so-called people that were walking around and doing the impartation. So let's prepare our hearts, right? Let's ask the Lord for a new level of intimacy, a new level of awareness. Where am I in my walk with you? And here's the thing. Here's what our heart can do. We can either get into function mode and be like, okay, so here comes guilt from the enemy. Shame on you. You haven't been getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning every single day to read your Bible for an hour before you get ready for work or whatever it is. You know, haven't had those 4-hour soaking days, you know, in his presence. I would love those. But if it feels like condemnation, that's not Jesus. Okay? 5 minutes here, 2 minutes there. Listen, it's a daily awareness. I'd rather learn how to practice his presence and talk with him all the time, knowing that he's with me everywhere I go, than setting aside 30 minutes to an hour every single morning for a perfectly disciplined quiet time. It is important that we set aside time, that we read the Word. How are we supposed to be people of the Word if we don't even know what it says? It's just a truth. Well, Lord, but I don't memorize scripture very well. I'm really, really bad at remembering, particularly the addresses. I used to give that excuse several years ago. We had taken a team to Waco for a mission trip, and I remember saying that right before I left, and he gently, lovingly rebuked me, and he said, "Am I not capable? Do you not have the mind of Christ?" I was like, okay, I will no longer speak that over myself. I have the mind of Christ, so I can know everything. And so he started giving me and showing me how to be a little intentional and how to, you know, bring those things. And I was like, Lord, I just want to be able to have the scripture that I know it. And honestly, if I know the address or not, I can go to BibleGateway.com and look it up and find it if you really want the address, right? But I just want to really know the Word. I want it to be active and alive and living and breathing in me so that I can have my sword anytime, anywhere, any place, and to be able to slaughter the enemy if he decides to come at me, right? And I'm just telling you, I didn't necessarily do what I expected myself to do or told myself I should have done, right, by being super disciplined and writing it all out and memorizing it and doing the flashcards and all that kind of stuff. But what he showed me is as I began to share and as I began to do some things, and even in my office in therapy, scripture would just start coming forth out of my mind, and I was saying it and I'm not giving the address, which is actually probably really good because a lot of the people I was singing were not believers. And so it was just a really good proverb or saying or, you know. Anyway, he started highlighting that to me, and he said, see, you do know this stuff. It's in you. So I just want to encourage you, because I feel like the word he gave me just a little while ago was, this is a day of commissioning. That's heavy for me. I'm kind of like, oh, fear of the Lord. I don't know. Are you really saying that, God? But I heard it, so I'm going to say it. Because there's an invitation into a place of intimacy with him just to go the next level. Wherever it is you're at, he is wooing you. You don't have to get yourself cleaned up or get everything in order. When I was asking the Lord about, is my house in order now? And he's like, I'm coming anyway, right? So we're always a work in progress. I'm always getting it in order. I don't know about you, but I always have dishes to do every day and laundry and mail to go through. I mean, every day, you know? So that's life, right? Life is ministry. Ministry is life. So, it's a journey. It's a journey. You have mile markers, not just destinations, right? There's mile markers. So where are you with him? Because he wants to take you to the next level. The invitation is, we're going deeper. We're going further. Are you ready? Here we go, because it's going to go a whole lot faster than you are ready for. Because it's happening, whether you're ready or not. Whether you got your pants on or not. It's happening. And it's big, and it's more, and it's good, and it's good for you, and it's blessing. And so to jump on top of the word Linda, you know, had said earlier, that's like, be bold in your dreams and in your prayers. Write the stuff down. God, here's what I want. I want to see this by the end of the year. I want to do this by the end of the summer. I want to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I want to see the dead raised. You know, I will not be disappointed. Because I don't ever want to give my heart permission to be disappointed. I mean, I won't feel it. But to be disappointed on some level is to disappoint God from his throneship, okay? He's still king. I'm not going to be disappointed because it's his timing and his stuff anyway, right? So there's an invitation to a deeper relationship with him. And to develop a place of intimacy, we have to be able to not just be in function mode, the doing, 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 checklist, checklist, you know, and for all you thinkers out there that are in your head a lot, analyzing and stuff, okay? I really feel like he's highlighting this other part of our heart, and he's saying, give me your emotions. Give me your emotions. We'll unpack this more next week when we have more time. But he says, give me your emotions, because when I think about intimacy, when I was asking the Lord, I kept hearing these words about Wednesday nights and transformation, transform. And I heard, I was like, well, what do you want? What are you doing? And I just heard words. Identity, intimacy, holiness, and wholeness. So those are the four pillars I want. And I said, okay. You're going to have to write those sermons, Jesus, because, you know, I don't know. They're just concepts, right, right now. But just think about identity. Who am I in Christ? Intimacy. Are you in love with Jesus? Because if you're not in love with Jesus, you're not going to be able to stand when all hell breaks loose. When you're not in love with Jesus, you're not going to be able to embrace pain and suffering and trials and tribulation and still declare that God is good, no matter what. You're going to have to really understand how much he loves you in order to love him back so much that you're willing to obey whatever the price. I'm willing to pay whatever price. That's how surrendered we have to be. This is not just a religious, nice little saying. I surrender all. Well, careful, because if you say it, he might ask you for it. He wants to take us to a whole other level of boldness. He wants to take us to a whole level of intimacy, of holiness, where we understand that we're set apart. Every single one of you is called and commissioned to do great and mighty things right where you are. You are not accidentally where you are, in the job where you are, in the city where you are, in this church, and whatever it is that you do every day. It is not an accident that you go to a particular grocery store all the time. It's not an accident that you like to shop at certain places. It's not an accident. He put it in you, and he put you there so that you can shine as light, so that you can make a difference with each person that you come in contact with. So, are we paying attention? If I'm with Jesus everywhere I go and I'm pushing my little grocery cart and I'm like, well, what kind of fruit do you want today, Jesus? You know. I had a friend ask Jesus going through the drive-thru, what would you put on your hamburger? You know what she heard? She heard mustard. She's like, really? And it's like, faith like a mustard seed. And then she asked, she said, what's your favorite color? You know, thinking red, blood of Jesus, you know. And this is what she heard. She said, I swear, a friend told me the story, and I love it. He said, blue, green, and brown. Really? Okay. And then she saw a picture of the earth. Isn't that good? I'm like, what? That's awesome. And then he showed her eyeballs. Blue, green, and brown. Isn't that good? I think it was Jesus talking. You know, you can ask him questions like that. And he can give you dreams, and he can give you, you know, times on the clock to look up scripture and speak to you in all kinds of weird ways. Learn how to hear his voice. We're going to talk about that. There's a commissioning. Let me go back to that. I hear him saying, it's time to get our house in order. It's time to get my church house, my family house in order. It's time for you to get your heart in order. I'm coming. And for some people, I'm knocking on the door because I want to get in. I want to get into every area of your heart. Don't wall it up. Don't guard it. I already know what's in there anyway. Just give me the stuff that I paid for. Give me that shame. Give me that fear. Give me that pain. Let me enter into those places of woundedness and bring healing. Let me help grow you up, heal you up. I want to be in every nook and cranny of your heart. I want to give you a new mind, a renewed mind. Singleness, not divided. Where you're wholeheartedly in love with him. Wholeheartedly sold out for the king. A noble subject that's willing to die serving their king. Whatever it takes, God. With honor, dignity, and giving that to the people around. So there's a commissioning. He wants to take people into a next level. And there's gifts that he wants to release. New things, new packages, like Christmas, you know, birthday, here you go, presents. But if you never open them up, if I give you a sweater and you never open it up and put it on and, like, get your smell on it, identify, wear it around everywhere, everyone's going to know it's your sweater, right, at some point. If you never do that, though, it'll never get used. It's just going to sit in there. So gifts are given for a reason. They're not rewards. They're gifts. You don't earn them. You can't. But he wants to give some. He wants to reactivate some that have been dormant for a really long time. He wants to add to and build upon some and stretch some out. I don't know what that means. He just said it. I just heard it. He said, I want to stretch some of those out. Okay. What I saw was a what is that? I saw like a sheep or a tarp go, whew. Oh, okay, so it's, you know, stretch out your tent pegs.
Oh, yeah.
Chronicles. That's what comes to mind. That's good, Lord. Extend your territory. Whoa. Extending the territory of our dominion. He wants to activate you into a new place. So he wants to stir some things up inside of you. A passion for his name. And you know, you have to kind of be emotional in order to be passionate. We like to be very dignified, very in order. You know, sometimes freedom is messy. You ever been around a bunch of toddlers? So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the invitation to come into a greater depth of intimacy with you. Just when I think I couldn't love you anymore, God, I want to love you more. Just when I think I've, you know, I've had some healing, there's more. When I recount the experiences and the amazing things I've seen that you've done, and yet there's more. So we say yes to you, God. We say yes to you. Whatever it looks like, we don't have to understand it. We just say yes. Even if we have infant faith, Lord, you said faith like a mustard seed, for willing to be used. Doesn't have to be polished and pretty, just usable. But you make things polished and pretty as well. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the invitation. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to now come and just begin to move and to pour out amongst the people and just to stir up within them, what are you saying to each one? Show them. Give them pictures, give them visions, give them dreams in the night watches. Lord, release gifting upon them. Reawaken desires that they thought were dead and buried and gone. Help us to dream really big, crazy big dreams, God. Thank you that we're not too young or too old. We're not too far gone. We're not too broken. We're not too poor. We just want to be used. We're here at your service, your noble subjects, King Jesus. So show us, God. What are we to do? How do we position our heart? How do we get our house in order on every level, whatever that looks like? What does it mean? How do we simplify this, Lord? Help us to simplify the things that we like to complicate. Help us just to be single in our thought and our heart toward you. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. He's calling you up higher. Come up here. Come see. Dream big. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Release more. Thank you, Lord. More. And Jay and Gary, if you'll come up and join me, and we're just going to come around and we're just going to lay hands on. We're just going to go ahead and end this time of prayer and impartation. And so just receive and we can do that. Why don't we go ahead and come up to the front? We're going to go ahead and have you come up to the front. And if you guys want to go ahead and line up, or you can take a seat at the front if you want. And that way we can all kind of do it. And we may give words or whatever too, but I really feel like this is more about our spirit and our heart more than our head. Okay, so I feel like the picture that he's giving me is, open the doors of your heart and just let me in. For some people, it's, I'm in your heart already. When are you going to let me out? Like, it's time to get out. It's time to get out there. It's time to go. It's time to come on. Let's go. I'm ready to get out and play with you. Okay? So, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we'll just come through and we'll pray. And did you have something before we started to do that? Okay. Great, we've got some words here too. So I'm just going to pray again right now, and then I'm going to turn off the mic here. Lord, we just thank you, and we say this time is yours. And so, Father, I ask that you just release words, release pictures, release your power, God. Come, Holy Spirit. We love you. We love you, God. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Jesus.